I'm going to get started now because there's only 20 minutes for each one of these sessions. So I'm going to try and fire through mine. And I'm going to do my best to give a few minutes at the end of mine for a couple questions, but we really need to stay on time, so I'm going to fire through this. This talk is Advanced Granular Synthesis for Next Generation Games. My name is Leonard Paul. I teach up in Vancouver at the Film School. I teach video game audio full-time. I also do contracting for companies like EA. Backbone Entertainment and other game companies like that. My contact info is on the bottom. My website is videogameaudio.com, so if you want to get the lecture notes, I'm going to be posting them there pretty soon. And if you want more information as well, just send me an email. So this talk builds upon my talk last year that I gave down in San Jose on granular synthesis, and so hopefully you have at least rudimentary knowledge of the way that granular synthesis works. And so with this talk, what I'm hoping to do is give a little bit more of a technical talk, showing how you can use the sort of the powers of granular synthesis in your own video games. So I sort of broke it down into three different areas: how to utilize granular for speech, sound effects, music and engines, and that's sort of a lot of what the last talk was about, so I'm just going to skim over that. And then the real power of granular comes out of how you can attach it in real time to your physics engine and whatnot, and basically drive your granular parameters from the game itself. So what I'll do is show how you can integrate PD or pure data with open sound control in your own engine, and then how to hook it up to your sound driver, at least some sort of basic knowledge there. So here's the first part, how to use it for the different components of game audio. This is sort of a review, granular parameters. So what you can do with granular synthesis, the basic idea of granular is that you take a sampled waveform. You can also use synthesis, but for games, probably using an existing waveform is the best idea. You break it up into very small grains. In the case of working with games, those chunks could actually be quite big. So say if you take a sound file and you segment it sort of like, recycle kind of style or beat slicing kind of thing, you can sort of see that you can chunk stuff apart even on transients, and those can be quite large grains that you can use, and you can shuffle around, or you can use very short grains, like maybe 50 milliseconds or shorter, and depending on how you play those grains back, you can stretch the sound out in time without changing the pitch. So you have all these little grains and you're playing them sort of at the same time, and they're all derived from this source sample. So the tricky part of granular is making it so that for games you don't want to have too much coloring, usually you don't want to have too much coloring of the sound due to the granular synthesis parameters. So these are the parameters that you have. You have selection order, so which way you're going through the sort of the seed waveform, pitch shift or playback rate of each one of the grains, the amplitude range of the grains, so if you sort of randomize your amplitude range, you can make things sound a little bit more bubbly. Spatialization, one of the neat things is that you can take a waveform and split it into grains, and then each one of those grains can individually be placed in the surround field. The grain duration, like I said, how long the grains are. Grain density, how many grains there are per second, or you can limit number of grain voices. So that's the great thing about our current generation of platforms, is that we get a lot of voices. Then there's the envelope, so the attack, sustain, and release, or you can use more complicated kind of enveloping, like a Gaussian curve or something like that. And the idea of that is that if you had a rectangle, or in other words, no enveloping at all, you would get a lot of artifacts and transients happening at the start and end of each grain. And if you've got, you know, hundreds of grains being triggered every second, you're going to have some problems with that's what your resulting sound will be, is all those transients, and you don't really want that. So you want to figure out a nice windowing function for your grains. You can also assign a specific DSP effect to each one of your grains, so you can do filtering, which is kind of neat. You could do some sort of EQ individually on each one of those grains, so instead of just playing back the grains without having any filtering, you could filter each one of those individually and make a very dynamic sort of sound that way. And then if you're using a granular delay line, you can also specify the amount of feedback that you're going to use to feedback into the start of the granular delay line. So, as far as the game parameters, granular synthesis kind of, the way that the sound actually gets created is almost Half of it is just from the actual parameters that you use to drive the grains. So that's the real strength that we have with video games, is that when we were first sort of getting started with granular synthesis, there was this problem of how do you compose a way of generating all these parameters, like thousands of parameters for these grains every second. Well, the nice thing about games is that, you know, you have all these parameters available to you from the physics engine, you know, collision detection and all that kind of stuff. So, say if you're doing, you know, like a granular synthesis, you know, car engine, what you can do is you can use the RPM to drive the pitch. And instead of having sort of, you know, the normal thing that happens with doing pitch shifting, with, you know, just changing the playback rate and not doing granular synthesis, is that you can preserve formants and stuff like that, which is nice. Physics allow for continuous control over the playback of the sample. So if you've got, you know, ragdoll kind of physics, every time you have an impact or a scrape or something like that, you can use, you know, granular at that point. Or you could also use something like physical modeling as well, which we'll hear about soon. Then we've got the input parameters need to be really carefully tuned, because if you've got all these parameters coming sort of blindly from the game, then you're just going to generate this sound that, you know, just doesn't have any soul to it. So you got to spend a lot of time figuring out how to tune these parameters. And with the demo that I'm going to show you, you'll see that hopefully you guys can take it a lot further. I basically got this system kind of working, but haven't spent a lot of time getting it to actually sound good. So it's kind of like, in other words, you can generate an instrument being this granular synthesis engine, but if you don't know how to play it properly, then it's not going to really sound that good. So granular, it's not just the fact of getting it working, it's spending a lot of time figuring out how do you actually change the parameters dynamically so that when you have a ragdoll collision, that it actually triggers your sound file in a really sort of, you know, a way that sounds good. That's where it spends, you spend a lot of time there. This is just a quick chart to sort of show at the top, you've got the game, you know, from the physics, graphics, AI, all that kind of stuff in there. And then out of there you get game parameters like collisions and stuff. Then you hit your game audio code that's platform independent, hopefully, and what happens from there is that's really the section where you're going to be tuning all the parameters that are, you know, coming from the game so that it'll actually make the audio sound good. So if you've ever worked with a game where you had, you know, your velocity directly driving the pitch, you'd probably found that you get this like, you know, like if you don't have any inertia to that, then it's going to sound very, you know, fake. So you have to spend some time massaging the parameters and getting them to sound good. And then from there you send out sound parameters to the granular driver code, or the sound driver code. And off to the side there we've got, it's hard to read, but anyways, we've got a, you know, commercial sound tool like, say, maybe Nuendo or Pro Tools. And then you've got your in-house sound tool that, you know, maybe it's, if you work at EA, you've got a certain sound tool, or maybe if you're licensing the Wise engine, then you know, you can put something there. And out of those you get script logic and sound data. Okay, so these are just a few things that you might consider when using granular synthesis for speech. So what you can do is that you can change pitch, you know, independently of the duration of the sound. So every time you trigger the line, you can get variations that way. I showed examples of that before. If you want to hear that, you can hear them on the website. You can change the formants of the voice, so you can change the playback rate of the individual grains, and if you wanted to, you could pitch certain grains and not other grains if you wanted to do some sort of spectral analysis. You can also do that with other frequency-based effects as well. Real-time granular effects to change the character of the voice if you wanted it to sound like, you know, sort of more gravelly and whatnot, you could use granular there. Sound effects, you can cross, this is kind of interesting, I was experimenting with this, where instead of just having like a volume crossfade, what you can do is that you can have grains coming from one sample, and then what you can do is you can start selecting grains out of a second sample, and then you just create more and more grains from the second one and less from this one, and you get an interesting kind of timbral shift that is not at all the same as doing just a volume fade. You can also blow apart grains and put them into a field, like if you've got an ambience, like maybe a watery or, you know, like non-specific BG or, you know, like an ambience, you can actually place that, move it around, something like wind might be good for that. you know, you can use your physics engine for sliding and scraping. There's academic papers that have been published on this, so you can have a look at those if you'd like. And then add variation to existing sound. And this seems to be like, with this talk, I got a few emails before the talk about people that are like, oh yeah, I want to really try this out in our game engine. And it seems that granular is a good addition to what you've already got. It's the typical thing. It's not some sort of holy grail. And it takes a while to figure out how to mix granularized sounds with existing sounds. So say if you've got a car engine, you might want to add a little bit of sort of grit or noise to the sound of that car engine, just as an extra layer, rather than thinking that you can do it all using granular synthesis. So say with car engines, you know, like I said, a layer for variation. And what you could do here is that say if you've got your sort of, you know, you've got X and Y axes, and in there that you've got the samples that are populated from, you know, engine recordings that you've made, well, you can populate that with the samples, and then from there you can drive the grains out of sort of that XY space. So if you've got a high RPM and high load, it would be in the top right-hand corner, or in the bottom left-hand corner, you've got sort of more grains that are coming from low RPM, low grain sound. So from there, it gives you a control over what the engine sounds like, and you don't have to worry as much as you might about having to match loops and all that kind of stuff, like if you use just sort of a three sample crossfade engine or something like that. And the nice thing about this is that it's also pretty scalable as well. But you could make however you populate this, you could make it quite small in case you're working with handhelds. Okay, with music and ambiences, you can stretch sounds for a granular drone. I've done, you know, music for film and stuff, so I've done a lot of granular kind of scores. You can do tempo sync on the grains when the grains are actually played back for interesting gating effects. You can merge ambiences, and that's sort of like doing morph on those sound effects. Similarly, making an ambience sound more musical and abstract. So the more you granularize it, the processing kind of makes it sound more musical. So that's more of a little bit of an intro. With this, coding for pure data objects, so what I use a lot when teaching is this sort of graphic-oriented language called pure data. It's very similar to MaxMSP if you've used that. The nice thing about it is that you can change your patch in real time while the actual code is running, rather than having to compile and then, you know, wait a while and actually see the effects of your work. So with PD, this sort of flexed is an easy, it's a sort of a wrapper that allows you to easily put DSP code into pure data objects. I used it to port part of the synthesis toolkit. This is Perry Cook and another guy from that have created this toolkit of DSP processes. And from there, basically you just wrap the pure data code and then you can use it in real time. So this takes C++ code and allows you to drop it into pure data and use that as a custom object. And it's not that difficult to do. So here's an example of it. It shows you how you define the headers. You know, like the pure data code is on the right hand side, the little diagram there. So you've got noise, it's being, you know, attenuated. There's the gain function. So the gain tilde is the actual object, and then it goes out to the DAC. So all you need to do is basically define your inlets, your outlets, and then the void signal stuff there is where the actual processing on the vector happens. So every time you get buffers of data in, it just iterates through that. And so you would need to put that into your sound sort of updater's DSP process function. So that would have to run at a an audio rate. So that's how it works in pure data. So it's not too difficult to port to your own code. So what I've done is taken this open sound control that's basically sort of, some people refer to it as MIDI 2. It allows you to send, you know, messages across TCP/IP like Ethernet really quickly. And so what I've done is basically taken OSC, stuck it into a Half-Life 2 source mod. And what you can also do is you might also consider actually compiling pure data to a compiled language. So here's OSC, a way of, you know, it's really quite simple to be able to send messages out. So you basically create a socket, you send some stuff out of there, it's a formatted message here, you've got Hi World, and then you just send that message out. So to actually do this, I spent a few weeks doing this, well, part-time, And so you just download the OSC pack library. Then from there, I use Visual C++ Express because it's free, and I use Half-Life 2. So basically to do this, it only costs about $20. In other words, the price for Half-Life 2. From there, I added the files to the actual source of the mod in Half-Life 2. And it's really similar to adding OSC to your own sound driver. So what I did is combine, you've got Half-Life 2 running, and then it's sending OSC messages over to Pure Data in real time. So with this, we've got the granular sound driver, so PD C++ code can be easily ported. Synthesis, of course, you need to tune that. And the advantage is that with games, you have this real-time control directly from the game. So here are some examples of granular code. So if you're looking for code, like a sound programmer, here's a few of them. Probably the Ross Bencina one is the best. I didn't actually end up compiling that because it uses the Borland C++ builder. There's a link for it. And then, like I said, the Synthesis Toolkit. And then there's the open source version of the sync grain. That one's not that useful because it's actually using synchronous granular synthesis, but you can have a look at that anyways. So here's some research that's sort of related to granular synthesis, so concatenative sound synthesis. So it's kind of like the photo montage where you got the montage created from all these little small pictures. So what you do is you create one audio file and another audio file and try and break it into grains and then resynthesize that original one with the second sample. With this one's more related to trying to figure out how to preserve transients. This is one of the big problems with granular synthesis, is that it tends to make things sound kind of mushy because you've missed the transients. But if you were to segment your grains or pre-segment on the transients, then you'd have less of a problem. Here's some research for that. And like I was saying, you can also use, there's this research that this guy did about trying to actually compile Pure Data code, if that's what you're interested in. So I will show you a quick example here. And hopefully I can get this guy running. Okay, so let's see if I can do this. Okay, right. So all the footsteps are granular, and so what's happening is that it's actually triggering. I should probably get mine. So this code here is actually running the audio side of things. I have granular synthesis code here. You can already actually download this. This is what I used for my last talk. So you can change the pitch. There's the surround, and so it's actually generating the footsteps and putting them through this this engine here. So if I'm walking around, and this guy here, there's only four sound samples, but the idea is that if you use granular, that you can sort of make them sound a little bit more interesting every time they get triggered. So if I was to look at that, there's Gordon Walk. So I can actually trigger this manually. So you can see there's actually five different samples. I'm changing the playback speed independently of the pitch, and there's other stuff that's going on there. I can also change the pitch of the grains themselves. So if I really wanted it to sort of pitch down, I can change the minimum value here and change this guy here. And if I go back to the game, not necessarily very good, but you can hear that it's actually happening, and you can change your audio parameters in real time. So that's one of the main things when working with game audio, is you don't want to spend time, right? You're moving around. And that's also a granular sound as well. Okay, selecting those. And you can see here that depending on what you shoot, because the collisions are different from the physics engine, that it will either trigger or not trigger sounds. So I'm going to just end it, because that's 20 minutes. So I guess if you have questions...